Hi then, welcome along to Africa's Biggest Braai. Joining me around it is Francis Nkwayin and Courtney Freeze. Gentlemen, so good to be here with you for the On The Whistle podcast. I hope you are well. We are the kings of the virtual braai wherever we are in the world. Francis, how are you doing today, my brother?
Pretty well, brother. An absolute pleasure to be with you guys again this evening. Still enjoying my time here in the UK. The weather's been fantastically British. I think it's about to rain everywhere we all are. So, some things are the same.
Love it, Francis. And for those of you who don't know, my name is Zain Nabi. I have the privilege of hosting this podcast, and that means deep conversations with Francis and lots of teasing with Courtney Freeze. And you'll know why we bully Courtney. It's because he's the only one on the pod who's played a decent level of football. I'm not talking about Grays Essex over 45's Masters. I'm talking about a bona fide man who's played in Africa in the Champions League and won the Premier Soccer League crown in South Africa. Courtney, that's the most compliments you'll get out of me all year. How are you doing, brother?
I'm dangerously good, Zain. I'm telling you, we're off the foot of the table at the moment. We won 7-2 last week.
Wow, what a turnaround.
After a run of 14 straight losses in a row on a Saturday, I think we can escape the drop.
Well, listen, Courtney, you were a magical defender back in the day. I just, you know, for the benefit of Francis, you know, if he was an agent and you were selling yourself to him, were you like Philippe Lam? Were you like Carlos Puyol? Were you like Micah Richards? Where would you say you were?
And notice no African comparisons there.
But Zain, I'm going to go with the demonstrative, calculated, elegant Fabio Cannavaro, Zain. Only defender to win the Ballon d'Or, Zain. You know, you asking me to name myself, so I didn't think I'd go big. I thought I'd go moderate.
It's big.
Navarro, Zain. Absolute quality defender. Roll the ball out from the back. If you're going to kick it out, go and sit on the bench. We don't need you.
And I was going to say, and that's fair criticism, Francis. I mean, my favorite African defender in recent memory, Kalidou Koulibaly. Who's yours?
Wow. You just put me on the spot there.
That's a big one, Zain.
No, I loved Kalidou. I mean, there were so many, right? Like someone West, Rigobert Song. We've got loads.
Right now, I think I like Saliba.
How can you not?
Yeah, he does all the things I like defenders to do. And they've taken that leaf out of the Cannavaro turn, Rio Ferdinand school of playing out, being comfortable on the ball, but doing...
One of the things that made Cannavaro such an excellent defender, Zaid.
Tell me.
Besides his determination and the ability to really play well, he wasn't a very big defender. He wasn't a tall guy. He was just somebody whose timing was excellent. That's, I think, in all aspects of playing, any sport is good. When your timing is world-class, man.
What if it's your timing? My favorite was Laurent Blanc.
Yeah. I just wish he pulled his socks up, man.
It's the fact that he had his
socks. I don't have respect.
That's exactly it.
It's Maradona-esque.
You got to pull your socks up, man.
Did you hear the young man yesterday? What's his name? They were singing his song unintentionally. Jude. Hey, Jude. And he came back out and he said, Don Carlos Ancelotti was yawning before the game, man. I love the people who take the game too seriously. Let's go entertain me, man.
Yeah, I would also be yawning.
That's how Laurent Blanc played. That's how Maradona played. They don't take it too seriously.
No, the great ones always can do that. Okay. And listen, guys.
Rigobert's song. His socks were down.
No. See, lots of examples. And I was going to say, guys, look, we're obviously going to get into the CAF Champions League semifinals. That's what's happening this weekend. So this is more of a bite-sized pod. But before I get there, I just wanted to read out some viewer comments to our last podcast last week. We did our deeper dive on the CAF quarterfinals. We had Adam Aziz, one of our loyal viewers on YouTube, and he said, good listen, I think we need goal line technology to make it very clear so there's no debate. He also was chiming in saying that with regard to the first game between that Simba had played in, that great chances, but it came down to who wanted it more. And he said the only thing that could really perhaps stop Sundowns is if they have injuries and fatigue, or a team has more than him. So thank you for your comments, Adam. Always a pleasure. And then Tete Molefe, another friend of the show, he posted on our YouTube account saying, great podcast as always, guys. The issue with fans in Egypt, because remember we were talking about that, is the crowd restrictions since the Port Said incident. I feel Sundowns had a good crowd at Loftus, and I think the price for the CAF Champions League is less than 70 million rand. I'm expecting an exciting semi-final game, and I predict Sundowns and Al Ahly will be in the final. Well, listen, if you agree with Titi or you agree with us, Adam, please post a comment, leave a review. YouTube, very easy to find. We're at the On The Whistle podcast. Same on Facebook. And if you're on X, formerly known as Twitter, or Instagram, just search for the OTW_podcast handle, and you'll find us very, very easily. But now, gentlemen, we're looking forward to the CAF Champions League semis. It's the first leg. On Saturday, in the opening semi-final, we'll see TP Mazembe hosting Al Ahly in Lubumbashi, in the DRC. I think it's going to be a great game for obvious reasons. Al Ahly will be the favorites. But stranger things have happened at TP Mazembe on their artificial pitch. Give me your thoughts, gentlemen. What could we see unfold this weekend there?
Well, I think, if I may begin, the point I would like to start off with is something we kind of saw in the European or the UEFA Champions League. There is something to be said for the history in these tournaments. There's something in the DNA of clubs. So if we were speaking about that or taking that factor into consideration, then Sundowns would be the least likely team to win. Probably followed by, let me see, Tunis. And then TP Mazembe, who've won it 5 times. And then Al Ahly, who are the record holders, any which way. So based on that, the one thing we're guaranteed is these clubs are familiar with being in this space. Their fans, their management, the organization understands what's at stake. Now, for a club like TP Mazembe, I think they've been very, very clear with their ambitions to return to the top. They haven't been in this position, I think, maybe since 2016 or something like that.
Yeah, it's basically 10 years since they've played in a CAF Champions League final.
Exactly. So it's been a long time for them, but they believe they deserve to be in that space. And under their coach, under Lamine, they've been working very hard to arriving at this, and it's a mission for them. And on their home turf, I don't think Al Ahly, I know last week when we were speaking, I was saying like they play the best football on the continent. But there is something to be said for playing in unfamiliar territory. Lubumbashi is the fiefdom of Mazembe. And I think at home, if they get their tight crowd, it's an old school football field. It's one of those like you're playing at your friend's schoolyard or something, and everybody there. I don't think Al Ahly will be bringing any fans. I don't think if they do, it will be in the tens, maybe 100 or a couple of hundred of them or something like that. So it will really feel like a cauldron, I think, to them. And if they can get that kind of pressure into the event, then Al Ahly will have to play the occasion, not the match, because this occasion for Mazembe will be their ticket to where they believe they belong. And they know they'll have to do it at home, probably give themselves enough of a cushion because it will be completely different the following week. So I think we'll be in for a good game, but I won't be surprised if TP Mazembe pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Wow, that's a big prediction. I think all the favorites, all sorry, everyone would agree Al Ahly are the favorites, but Mazembe have the history, and as you say, Francis, there's something to be said about that. Courtney, are you going to go with the romantics, or are you going to be a party pooper?
No, I think it's going to be a one-sided affair. Al Ahly, in my opinion, win. It won't be comfortable, but it won't be comfortable. It's down to the preparation. It's down to how the team is received. It's down to the stadium, as Francis mentioned. You've got all these are factors that will contribute to a potential downfall to Al Ahly in this game. But I can't see the quality that they have and how they don't get past TP Mazembe. The best Mazembe could get to is the best, I think, is a scoreless or a goal draw of some kind. I can't see anything more than that. And Al Ahly are know that this is a 200-meter sprint, not a 100-meter sprint. They just need to get through this tie in contention within the match. There is a lot of time, 180 minutes to be played here with extra time to go. So they can get through this first game with a slight, if a miracle happens, loss, which Francis is pointing to. But there's no way they go back to Cairo and get a result, in my opinion. But you got to give some credit to them to get into this point. Now are you going to express yourself in terms of endeavor, attitude, uncomfortableness, desire, and making use of all your attributes like the stadium, which I think the stadium is a very important cog in this fixture. It's like a test match after 5 days. The pitch is the most important thing, not the batsman anymore. The pitch now is crucial, and this is where we are. So I don't think it'll be entertaining. It shouldn't be. It's two forward packs fighting against each other. It'll be ugly, but I think I'll actually just edge it.
Courtney, I couldn't have said it better myself. We have another great game to look forward to in Tunisia. Esperance holding Mamelodi Sundowns. I know that Francis said the right thing. Of all the teams left in the tournament, Sundowns have the least pedigree, one win. But they are the dominant force in South Africa, which is the preeminent competition on the continent. They've got a lot of investment, probably second only to Al Ahly. And they have been really poor in their last five games, Courtney. I'll start with you. Even this week, they struggled to a 2-2 draw with relegation candidates in the PSL, Morocco Swallows. They needed penalty shootout to progress in this competition against Young Africans. And they even needed a penalty shootout against the University of Pretoria to progress to the netback come semi. So they've not been in great form. One of their star players was explaining that they have a different mindset in Africa. That was their utility player, Talepo Morena. He was talking about how the atmosphere in North Africa for these games is like off the charts, saying at Al Ahly, at Wydad and Esperance, the atmosphere is something else, but we just have to go out there and play our normal game. Our mindset is different when we play away in the Champions League. So listen, it's going to be a cracking crowd. Talebo's saying they're going to use that as something that's going to motivate them. But looking at their last five games, I'm not so sure I buy that. They've been really inconsistent. Courtney, where do you stand? Do you think they can go and get a result against Esperance?
I don't think they can sign. I really don't think they can. I've been calling this for the last 3 weeks. I'm worried about their form. I'm worried about the type of football they are playing. They are not cooking at the moment. If they think football is like turning on a light switch in a house, then they've got a problem here. They will turn it on when they feel they are ready. They've got an issue. They are not in good form at all. You called out a few results. The one that worries me the most is the Pretoria University result. Playing in Pretoria, and they struggled. They struggled to get over the line in that game. I think Esperance have all the attributes to beat them. Esperance are the wrong team for them to play at this point in time. I spoke about their aerial advantage last week. Esperance will not be intimidated coming up against Sundowns, number one. Esperance will also be looking at their previous results that they've been putting together against other teams and thinking to themselves, okay, they are a good team, but at this point in time, they are there to be got at. So let's go after them. I would expect the home game in Tunis to be, excuse me, in Tunisia to be, I have a funny feeling Sundowns won't score. That is the disadvantage. I don't think they score. They are off form at the moment. I can't see them getting through this tie.
And I know you were really concerned ahead of the last round against Younger, and that proved to be correct. Francis, what's your read on this one?
I lean a lot with what Courtney has said. I know last week I was kind of like waxing lyrical about where they're going. And here, I mean, Sundowns. But I took the time to watch the last game, actually. I was looking for highlights afterwards. And like Courtney said, it's the style of play or the lack thereof. And when you hear players say things like, oh, well, the atmosphere will get them going. And last week you touched on this. You said maybe the competition isn't as exciting at home at present for them, so it's almost a bit too easy, and so they've fallen into bad habits. And then I would say maybe they're tired because of all the exploits, having won the AFL, having a great core of this team, having participated in the AFCON. I think they're in a funk right now, and Esperance are a solid team. I was speaking with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about, it's not an introduction, but like the role that the South Americans are playing in African football. And we were saying, oh, what a joy it could be to see Sundowns turn up with their Chileans and their Brazilians, and Esperance also have in the heart of their midfield. They've got Yaa Sassi, a fantastic Brazilian midfielder. And yes, we're talking about African football, but again, I always say this, I believe the beauty about the emergence of our game will be how we connect with the rest of the world. So for me, it was this opportunity to see Brazilians, because it was a Brazilian friend of mine I was speaking with, who's looking forward to seeing this competition with talent out of South America who are playing in Africa. But following the game, the 2-2 draw, he was kind of like, but those guys aren't particularly good. And I was trying to explain that I think they're playing in a system that right now is just struggling. And I think because they're in that phase, Esperance will take advantage of this. I think so. And I don't see Sundowns winning. And in a weird way, kind of like harking back to my former comment, if TP Mazembe are able to get the result that they need to get at home, I still don't think they will do it over two legs against Al Ahly. And so you begin to envisage this almost all North African final yet again in the brewing. So part of me hopes that Sundowns could do something, or maybe click their fingers and that magic that they believe can happen happens. But the only way that works in your advantage, like what Moreno was speaking about the atmosphere and all that, usually it's when that 12th man is your man. But this is an away game where these fans are extremely motivated. They have a history of success in this tournament. They want to see their club arrive at the top again. And they can smell the blood already, and I think they will take advantage of that. I think each person may win their home game, potentially. So the challenge for Esperance, in my opinion, will be to win it and win it handsomely at home. So that way, they may lose 1-0 or 2-1 when they come to South Africa. But I think they could quite comfortably do a 3-0, 4-0 job. That's how I see things.
And that's the fear, Yazane. And, you know, it's not often that we will talk this way. with this element of fragility around Sundowns. But Sundowns are so off form at the moment. And like I said, Esperance are not a team that can be bullied, you know? Big men, physical men, willing to trade with you as well. This is the wrong team. This is the wrong draw Sundowns have got. Sundowns would have, I'm sure they would have jumped at the TP Mazembe fixture, you know, and let us have a go at who's in the final. One-off fixture. Let us go there and roll the dice against someone. But this is the wrong team to face for them at the moment. They would be worried. I tell you now. And they have the right to worry. They're not just playing anybody. They're playing a very good team. Hardly gives away goals. I'd be shocked if Sundowns come away from there with a goal, let alone a result.
All right, gentlemen. If you're Francis, you're probably seeing a TP Mazembe and Esperance final. If you're Courtney, you're probably seeing an Al Ahly and Esperance final, which would be a North African cracker. Gentlemen, always a pleasure speaking to you. I know there's lots of football this week to look forward to, and I can't wait to crunch it with you next week. I will be on the continent next week, so look out for that for those of you who are around. If you can get my country and my city and my favorite restaurant correct, and you meet me there, I'll buy you something.
I need to book a flight then.
Francis, Courtney, always good seeing you, lads. Enjoy the football, and we'll do this again soon. I'll be in the continent doing it with you.
An absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Zane.
Speaking next week.